Let's quickly pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in this place tonight. We love you, and we want to be more like you. And we want to represent you well in this country. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to do a short sermon, but we just need another advertisement, promotion. So what's coming up is, it's called The Church Has Left the Building Month. So August is going to be The Church Has Left the Building, because we are not supposed only to gather in this building. Did you guys know that? The gospel needs sunlight. Just tell the person next to you, the gospel needs sunlight. Okay, so some of you are in, I heard there's some Oakdale people over here. Was it Oakdale Owens? There's an Oakdale Nemo, yes. Okay, we have SVD rugby players here. We have moms. We have life community. We have teachers. We have business people. We have NMMU, Studenta. We have JH. We have IT specialists, farmers. We have Yanni engineer. So all of you represent a sphere of influence. And that means that you have, if you represent Jesus well, you have the ability to extend God's kingdom in that sphere of influence. Tracy's also a teacher. So that's what this month is all about. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go and vote. Because if you don't vote, you can't complain about, you won't be able to make a difference, okay? You can't there's no roads or what's happening with Zuma. If you don't vote, you can't do that. Unless you're under 18, obviously. Okay, so this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we're going to pray in this wall. Wednesday, 6 o'clock, okay? We're going to pray for the elections in the morning. So I know it's a holiday, but I wake up at 5 by the voice of the Lord that sounds like this. So I've just decided, if God wants to wake me up at 5, I'll wake you up at 6, okay? At 6, we're going to pray in this wall. It's going to be amazing, because again, most of you are younger than 25, and we're going to live in this country, okay? Just talking to, if you want to talk to Clyde, where's Clyde? Is he gone now? But anyway, he was just in a meeting about what's happening in the economy in South Africa, and it's not good at the moment, but God wants to turn it around by people praying and the church standing up. So that's the first one. On Sunday, we're going to preach on the church has left the building, just the introduction. So I know it's a long weekend, but hey, you still need to come to church. If you're not going to come to church, every time there's a long weekend, you'll never come to church. Okay, so it's a long weekend. Then, very important, the 14th of August, there's a friend of ours, Simone Noordman. She played Nadia on Sea in the Lawn. She's going to come and speak. So the idea is you leave the building and you say, hey, there's an actress coming to our church. You haven't heard, we're not actually, it's just a gathering of people, and there's actress going to come and speak, and then they pitch up here, and it's a Christian meeting, and they get to meet Jesus, okay? Now just tell them, it's a church, and they're going to be welcomed, it's amazing, it's loud, it's out there, and we want you to meet with Jesus. So Simone Noordman, she's going to be in the morning service, amazing testimony, just on what God is doing in the hearts, in that just area and section of society. And then in the evening service too, we're trying to get her into Otanikwa just to come and say hi and tell her story quickly. So that's on the 14th, and the 21st we're going to have people sharing their testimonies and great business ideas that God gave them and how they're hearing God's voice outside of the building. Because sometimes it's great to come and it's great to gather. I love this. I love gathering here, and I love it when people are quiet during the sermons. I just love it. But it's the real thing starts out there. And then on the 28th, we're going to have a baptism party. Okay? So it's a pool party, a holy pool party. So Luke's going to erect a little baptism pool over there at the back, and we're going to baptize people. So if you want to make a commitment to do that, some sitting here have done that last week, and we're very excited to see what God's going to do through these people. Okay, so here's the start of the sermon. Okay, those of you who have come to Ken McCarr would have seen this, the triangle. So basically this, for me, represent church, a triangle. So it's something visual. I want to see something. I want to see it when I think of church. So the most important question that you want to ask in life, the most important need that you need to fulfill in life is what my skoonma calls a liewe Jesus gaatjie. There's a hole in your soul, and the only one that can fill that is Jesus Christ. There's no one else that can fill that. Not your spouse, not your girlfriend, not your teacher. Not that you want your teacher to fulfill that, but nobody can fulfill that. Not even the church can fulfill that. You need to encounter God. That's the most important. That's why during evening service or during morning service, we would spend extended time in worship, because we believe that during worship, we praise God. And in Psalm 23, it speaks of God inhabits the praises of His people. So some of you are standing here tonight, maybe the first time that you've been in a worship service like this, and you just, wow, okay, something is different. I feel love and a little exposed. It's just God inhabiting the praises of His people. So that's the most important. That's what we go after. And then there's a very important one that we sometimes neglect, and that is the belong part. And Mark actually gave my title when he was sharing his word. He said, where do you belong? You belong right here. You belong in the midst of God's presence, but you belong in the midst of people that pursue God. You need friends that's on the same track, that's living for Jesus. And then we're going to talk about that. And then the last one that's also very important is we need a purpose. We need a purpose. There's a great commission. There's God saying to people, hey, I want you to go out and change Otoniko. I want you to change NMU. I want you to change the business sector. I need you to change your family. There's a purpose that we're living for. And it's something greater than ourselves. You're just living for yourselves. It's boring. It is boring. The one thing that I love about the Lions rugby team that's busy winning the Super 15 is that they're playing for each other. And that's what they want to, if you read the news articles after they beat the Blue Bulls a couple of weeks ago, there was one guy who wrote and he was listing all the people that came from the Blue Bulls. They were not good enough for the Blue Bull team. And then eventually ended up at the Lions team. And Johan Akkerman, in a way, gathered those people that weren't good enough, rugby players that weren't good enough. He gathered those and he created a team out of them. And now they top of the log, playing in the finals against the Hurricanes. But they're playing for each other. You need a purpose greater than yourself. Okay, so and part of that serving thing, something that I had to say in the beginning, is that most of you, just look at Monica there at the back. It's Luke's wife. She's pretty, okay? There's this, if you haven't filled in a form or haven't volunteered to serve in this church and you not only want to become a member, but you want to help out, there's a form that you can get from Monica at the info table. Please do that. Some of you have already filled in forms. We haven't gotten back to you. We still have those forms. We're still working through them. But it's just a very simplified form of the previous one, and it's amazingly designed by Andy the Brit. I don't know where Andy is. He's here, isn't it? It was in the morning service, not the gone service. That was funny. Okay. So, and if we as a church, we connect people to these three areas, people start to find their identity. Because your most important question that you need to answer, and you need to answer it tonight too, is who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who are you? You won't be able to answer that question if you don't look at these three areas. It's basically of our makeup, our human makeup. And what the world tells us that we are what we do, but that Christianity works the other way around. It starts with what you believe, the encounter part. You need Jesus. The moment you meet Jesus, he explains to you not only who you are not, he explains to you who you are. And maybe religion has taught us that God's only interested in that part which you are not, and that your sinful part, he wants to take that. No, God's interested in who you are, who he created you to be. You're created in God's image. So that's the first part, the believe part. But then the second one is belong. You need to belong somewhere. What did Jesus do? He didn't go like, here's the Great Commission, here's the Holy Spirit, go. No, he said, hey, follow me, belong. Belong in this band of believers, amazing, radical guys, fishermen, wild, out there. Belong first, then I'm going to send you. You belong, and then at the end it was behave this way. Go, purpose. So first believe, then belong, then behave. And religion teaches you, you must first behave before you can belong, before you can believe. Who of you have heard somebody saying, hey, if you're smoking, you must first leave your cigarettes before you can meet with Jesus? That is wrong. You'll never be able to do that. And I just sense while we're worshiping that some of you are going to be set free from addictions tonight, and it's going to be with you meeting with Jesus first. It's not get better, you're trying to be a better person, and then eventually you'll get to meet Jesus. No, that's not how it works. As you first meet with Jesus, you say, God, I can't help myself. Islam and all those religions, it teaches you, hey, behave well, then you become part of the community, you're now a Muslim, and then eventually you get to be in contact with God. That's not how Christianity works. God is for you. He is constantly on your case, so he's coming after you. That's why Jesus sent his son, because he so loved the world, John 3:16. His desire is to be with us. Okay, so most important question is God, how do I relate to God? For me, that's a question of who is my dad? Who is my dad? Who is my dad? There's a guy called Charles Cooley, go and Google him. Lived in the early 1900s. He's a sociologist. He said, your self-esteem is dependent on the most important person in your life's idea of you, or opinion. Yeah, that's the word. Opinion of you. So your self-esteem, your self-worth is directly dependent on the person that you deem the most important in your life. So that's why Christianity is so amazing. Because who's the most important person in our lives? And what does Jesus think of us? He died on a cross for us. So that is our worth. That is our worth. So who are you? You're God's son. When you try, and some of you are already doing that, you are discipling people. All of us start with a slave mentality. We are slaves to other people's opinion, other people's burdens, even our own desires, our own lusts. So you want to help a person understanding that that is not who you are. You are not worthless. You are not useless. You are not that addict that people tell you, or that even the devil tells you who you are. But you are in Christ. You're a son of God. I have this friend. I was speaking to him about finances, and I'm like, hey, I can see that you don't really worry about your financial position, because he's not in a good situation or position at this moment. And I said, why is that? And he said, because his dad is rich. Maybe it's not about entitlement, but that was for me such an example of what we should be like when we are sons of God. I don't care what's happening around. Yes, I care in the sense that I love this world, but it's not going to determine who I am, because I am a son. Because my dad has everything under control. I don't know how it's going to pan out, but I know he's under control. He has the ability to help me through this. Okay, so that's very important. The second one, and I just want to elaborate on that a little, is where do you belong? Who? In Afrikaans, wie is die ons? The Bible is speaking about we should pray the Our Father. Who is the Our? Who are you praying the Our Father with? Who are the people you're doing life with? Wie ist dein uns that you are doing life with? There's a guy, Dick Cooley, who was CEO of Wells Fargo, and they were going through a difficult time. He's a businessman, difficult time they were going through, and their board of directors came to him and said, okay, tell us, what's your vision, what's your strategy, how are you going to lead us through this? And he said, he doesn't know. I don't know, people. But that's the wrong, he told them, that's the wrong question. I don't start with how are we going to do it. I start with who I'm going to do it with. He said, I'm not going to direct where this bus is going. I'm first going to get the people on the bus that will help me to get to the place where I need to go. So the first important thing that you need to answer, who is your daddy? Who are you? Your son? Are you a son of God? Are you a son of, who are you? And the second one is, who are you doing life with? Because your friends will ultimately determine where you are going and the people that you ask counsel from. That's why I freak out a little when people make big decisions without asking people. Some of you just need to ask your dad, Dad, what do you think about this girlfriend? What do you think about this boyfriend? What do you think about of me doing this? Or come to us as leaders, say, hey, come on, let's pray about this. Because you need to. Get people in your life so you can pray that Our Father. We are not supposed to live as individuals. It's boring. It really is boring. I'm part of a twin, so I've never understood this idea of being alone. I think the first time I was away from my brother for more than a month was when I was 21 years old. And I remember telling stories. Still now, when I tell stories of my early childhood, I would say, "Ons het dit gedoen, we did this and this and this." It's just because for me, it's such a great thing to understand that God is really long for people to come together in communities to seek after Him. Okay, so let's look at a scripture. It's Galatians 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And I want you to get from this is, so Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, and he's saying, hey, do good to all people, but your first priority in terms of the people that you want to support, the people that you want to gather around you, should be people that are believers. So if we look at the orns, the most important people that you're going to take with you, you need to take on that bus with you, the people that you where you belong are people sitting right next to you tonight. Those are the most important people. He says, do good to all people, but especially to the household of God. And he was just explaining to them how to do life. First gather people that have the same value system than you. And I have the privilege of spending some time with these young men. I think we were almost 20 people on Tuesday. Eh? James, how many was us? Yeah, tell us. Okay, amper 20. Okay, we started off with four people. But what is amazing is that they are doing life together. And they are walking this road together. And I've tried it with individuals. And it's so difficult to get them to follow Jesus when they learn. But now they are supporting each other. They are tuning each other when they don't come to church, when they don't read their Bibles, or even when they swear. And I love it. It's accountability, and I love it. That's what we should all be longing for, is that friendship, and also just encouraging others to go for the greatness that God has put in us. So that's another one. That's one scripture I want to share. And then Matthew 16, verse 18. I'm just quickly going through two scriptures. And then we're going to end, and we're going to worship, and we're going to pray for people. Again, Matthew 16, verse 18. So the context of the scripture is Jesus asking his disciples, who do you say I am? And then Peter, he answers, and he says, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. And then Jesus replies to Peter. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. He says that the church of Jesus Christ should be built on the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. So that's what we're all about. We have fun, we worship, but we're all about Jesus Christ and that He is the Son of God and He died for all our sins and our iniquities. But listen to this amazing statement that He makes. He says, and I will build my church. So He is doing this. He is adding people to this church. He is building He's building you so that you can represent the church out there. And then He says this, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And when I grew up, my dad's a Dwimini, and he loves the Lord, and he is amazing. He's really doing crazy stuff for Jesus. We saw he has preached here and previously, and he's going to come here very soon also. When I grew up in church, I sort of felt that we were this bunch of people, and I followed Jesus when I was very, started following Jesus when I, bunch of people, and we're just sitting here, and we're just scared of the devil. He's going to come after us. You need to be aware, this devil is going to get you. If you don't, you should be afraid of this devil. But when you look at this scripture, it's actually a picture of an army marching towards the gates of hell. Not that you're hell in the hell, Andreas. So the army is marching towards the gate, and we are and that's a church, towards the gate of Hades, to the gates of hell. And the Bible says, not even the gates of Hades will prevail against it. So what will happen? We just walk over the hell. And there's lots of hell in George. Do you know that? There's by hell in George. Okay? So I want us to, we need to use this phrase more often. We need to love the hell out of George. Okay? So tell the person next to you, I'm going to love the hell out of George. Come on, Amanda. Okay, so you can see what happens. So we start believing in Jesus and we become a community. So we belong. And this community, because Jesus is building this community, is the church of Jesus Christ. And we are marching forward and we're taking territory for Jesus. And we are an unstoppable force. If you are willing to follow Jesus all the way, we are unstoppable. And it's amazing to be part of this. And what I'm sensing, we're experiencing as young people, as young believers, is that just our little faith, the little things that we give Jesus, is just enough for God to start moving amongst our friends. God just saving people. It feels like you can say peanut butter sandwich. People get just, Jesus, fall over. I think we getting to that, that's what happened in the Jesus revival. You walk down the street, somebody would say, and he falls in love with Jesus like that. Okay. So how should this awns look like? How should this group of believers look like? And I felt God telling me that it should be able to handle a baby. Okay. Wow. Okay, just hear me out. It should be able to handle a baby. And what does that mean? That means that Ruan and Andreas, they are walking as covenant friends. They are walking as friends. They're loving each other and they're loving Jesus. Now, one of their friends don't know Jesus. And he gets born again. So he becomes a baby. And that grouping over here, Ruan and Andreas, they then get a baby. Ruan is the dad and Andreas is the dad of the spiritual baby. So, again, that's the reason also. So it means that they are walking in covenant. It means that they are walking in covenant and they are able to care for a baby because they're not living for themselves, but they're living for their friend. They're living for that person who got saved. And the same is true from marriage. So my wife and I, we loved each other and we made a covenant with God. We became one, we had sex, we have a baby. That's how it works. Not have a baby, have sex, have a baby, and then get married. That's not how it works. It says in the Bible that we should love each other, that we should get married. God then cuts covenant with us, and because of the covenant that God cuts with us, we are able to care for that baby. Because, man, it's difficult to care for a baby. You wake up in early hours and you have to clean poo and all that. So, and that may be also just a warning, and there's no condemnation in this place, okay? Just a warning for you guys who think of being sexually active. It is stupid. Because I just see this babies up there in heaven saying, wow, there's a young guy, a young girl, they're not in covenant, and they are having sex. Whether you do it with whatever precautionary measures you want to take, they're like, there's the possibility of us, me, landing there. This baby is saying, I don't want to go there. No, but that is true. And it's really a serious matter. So I freak out a little. You can ask my wife. I freak out a little when I hear young people having sex. Because I know that the baby can come. And I know how much care a baby needs. And there's no condemnation. If you're pregnant here, maybe tonight, God wants to love that baby through us all. And please come and speak to me. Like I told these guys last week, if you're gonna sleep around, you're gonna have a baby, I tell you it's stupid, but I should be the first person that you call when it happens. Because we're gonna make it right together. That's why we need community. So where do you belong? You belong here. You need to belong in a people group that loves Jesus, that are willing to lay down their lives for each other and live according to God's commandments. Okay, let's stand. Okay, so let's just close your eyes quickly. We want to pray with a couple of people tonight. So the first group of people, you're just so alone. Just close your eyes quickly, all of you. No one needs to look, okay? You're just so alone. You know that we are created for community. You know that you want to love, but you've maybe gotten hurt in the past, and you don't want to open yourself, you don't want to be vulnerable, you feel people will reject you because there's so much shame, you've maybe slept around, maybe you're still addicted to stuff, you just know, I can't open myself. What if people see who I really are? But you're just so, so alone. And if you're alone here tonight, I want you to raise your hand. As a gesture of saying, hey God, I'm alone. I need friendship with you first. Just raise your hand very high. Thank you for those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then I want us to, as a community, on behalf of them, pray this prayer. And just pray it after me. Say, Jesus, I repent of my selfishness. Of only wanting friends for myself. To look good. In the eyes of other people. Lord, will I commit myself to become more like Jesus and to befriend all people, especially those who are lonely. not wanting anything from them, but to love them in a Jesus way. Amen. Okay, just keep your eyes closed. Okay, now we're going to go for the big one. And I just sense there are a couple of you here tonight. You have never met Jesus. Maybe you've had an encounter with God earlier in the service, but you've never met Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, I want to give all, I want to give everything to you. I want to give my whole life to you. You've never done that. You've never done it publicly. And maybe there's some of you that want to make a recommitment tonight. You want to say, I want to follow Jesus with everything. I've gone off track, but I want to be on track again with Jesus. If that is you, there is grace in this place tonight for you to meet with Jesus in such a way that your life will never be the same again. And I want you to raise your hand very high. Just raise your hand very high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to be very bold, those of you who are raising your hands. I want you to step out from where you are, because Jesus did it publicly on a cross. And I want you to come and stand right here in front of me. And we're going to pray for you, and we're going to welcome you into this family. Just step out right from where you are. Dankie, Ruan. Well done, eh? Bold. Come on. There are more people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can come here. Amen. Amen. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. What's your name?
Ndombi.
Ndombi.
Yes, Ndombi.
Ndombi. Ndombi, God loves you, eh? I'm so proud of you. God is so proud of you. Ruan, God loves you, eh? God loves you. Sorry, your name again?
Jason.
God loves you. Okay. And we're going to pray a prayer with you. And you're going to remember this day. Okay, today is the 31st of July. It's my daughter's birthday. Okay, I'm going to remember you guys. Because you gave your hearts to Jesus on my daughter's birthday. The 31st of July, last day of July. Okay, we're going to pray a prayer with you. Just pray this out loud. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you've died on the cross for my sins. I now ask that you forgive me of all my sins and everything that I've done in my past. And I now take the victory that you have. Sorry, don't laugh. I now take the victory on the cross for myself. And I declare in front of all these people that I want to follow Jesus with everything in me. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to overflow with His presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, what happened now is you guys became born again. That means that you are like a little baby. You need to find yourself a church. If it happens in this church, we want to welcome you as babies in this church. Jason, Ruan, as you're learning, come stand. Stand for me. Okay, so you guys are now born again. You are spiritual babies. That means you need other people around. You need dads and you need moms. And some of those dads and moms are going to be people that are younger than you. And you're going to grow with them. They're going to be your friends. You need community. You need to follow Jesus and you need community. And you need to pursue the purposes of God. Okay. Then I'm just going to ask some of these people, James, can you take James and Paula, can you listen with Jason and Ruan, it's on with the cells. And then Renee, if you can come and pray with them, maybe just take them to the side. And they're just going to help you on how to do this. Okay. Great. I guess, amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Okay, that means there's a party in heaven, a triple party in heaven because of them. Okay, I sense God wants to deal with a couple of people groups still. So the one is, God wants to deal with you if you're alone. He wants to show you that He loves you. He wants to put you in a family. So if you can come forward. And then people that are struggling with addictions, I just sense God wants to set you free. People with addictions. And then the last one, as I sense, God wants to touch you with His Holy Spirit.